Hey, Fish Tank family, let's keep it real. Debt can hit hard and it doesn't care who you are, but you don't have to face it alone. I've seen people struggle and I've seen what a second chance can do.
That's facts, Juice. And when it comes to getting folks out from under it, nobody does it better than Van Horn Law Group. Chad and his team don't just talk the talk. They show up and fight for people when they need it most.
Yeah, I've known Chad Van Horn for over a decade. He's a good friend. And more importantly, I've seen firsthand the real results he and his team deliver for people all over Florida. Bankruptcy, debt relief, whatever it takes to help you breathe again.
Over 10,000 people have gotten a fresh start thanks to Van Horn Law Group. No judgment, just real solutions.
Yeah, so if debt is holding you back, call Van Horn Law Group at 954-637-0000 or visit vanhornlawgroup.com for a free consultation.
And if you mention the Fish Tank, they'll even cover the cost of pulling your credit report so you know exactly where you stand.
That's right. Don't wait. Take control and get back in the game with Van Horn Law Group.
Hey, Fish Tank listeners, Alvaro Freitas here, CEO of Casabella Design Group and host of the Renovation Revolution podcast. Look, every great football team needs a quarterback, someone who reads the field, calls the play, and leads the drive. That's what I do on your renovation, from kickoff to the final whistle. Whether you're dreaming about a bathroom upgrade, building that bonus room for your just one more week brother-in-law, or teaching you how not to be that pain in the ass client, we cover it all. This is an HGTV flop. It's real talk from a contractor who's been in the dust, the drama, and the demo. So grab a cold brew or un cafecito if that's more of your vibe and join me for the renovation revolution wherever you get this podcast. Follow the show and I'll see you in the huddle.
You're now diving into the Fish Tank.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Trap OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, yeah. Golf fans, number one, of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk, dive up in that fish tank.
Welcome back to Fish Tank Live, presented by Van Horn Law Group and Casabella Design Group. Seth Levitt right here in the Casabella Design Group studios, and I am with the only live podcaster to lead the National Football League in receptions and bowl a perfect game. And he also happens to have won an Emmy. He is OJ McDuffie. Juice, it's a Wednesday night, man. We're live.
Man, it's showtime, Big Seth. You know, I appreciate you not putting those two 299s in there on my bowling record. You know,
I didn't say anything about it, but now that you brought it up.
Bro. You know what I mean? But yeah, you know, I'm glad you let me bring it up instead of you, you know, trying to pull it out of me, man. You know what I mean? Because yeah. You know, those are the two most frustrating nights of my life. You know, when you get those opportunities to get a perfect game and you leave a 9 and a solid 10 pin. You get 9 and a solid 10 pin at the end, man. That's a rough day, bro. But so I appreciate it, man. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And
now, what's your high game, though, Big, except before we move on to everybody else's introduction?
I don't think I've ever broken 200. Like, okay.
You gotten close?
I don't know. And if I don't know, the answer is probably no. I know I'm a better bowler.
Yeah.
I'm a better bowler than I was a baseball player. I can tell you that much.
Let me jump in real quick. Last time I bowled, I forget the score, but I beat OJ McDuffie.
Where's the evidence? Where's the proof?
I have a lot of pictures, including you flicking me off with the scorecard up there. So,
charity event when I was bowling left-handed half the time.
Did it happen?
We need these photos. Well, that voice you hear is, of course, Chad Van Horn, the heart and soul of Van Horn Law Group. We'll talk to Chad a little bit. Well, we'll talk to Chad all night. We haven't talked to him since there's been major changes in Pittsburgh, so we definitely want to check in. Yeah. We thought you were ducking that or at least trying to, you know, cry your way to sleep. But we're grateful that you're here tonight. Of course, the legendary Savak, always with us. And he is Sun Sentinel columnist, the host of Dolphins Deep Dive with Perk, the man with the greatest internet this side of the Mississippi. He is Chris Perkins. Gentlemen, the Miami Dolphins have a new head coach. How are we feeling about it? Perk, we'll start with you.
You know what? I feel good because it looks like the GM, John Eric Sullivan, feels good about it. And what I mean by that is when he had the chance to talk to Sean McDermott, he didn't flinch. He stayed with his boy. And so I think that that makes me feel a little bit better. Now, look, I don't know if John Eric Sullivan made a call or sent a text to Sean McDermott's people and Sean McDermott blew him off. But it appears that he was convicted with his boy, Jeff Hafley. They've been together for the last two seasons in Green Bay. If Sullivan feels good about it, I'm going to feel good about it. But that's as far as I can go right now because they're both first-time guys.
So Sullivan has earned your trust to that point, Perk, that if he feels good, you feel good? Or you just like the idea that he zeroed in on somebody and didn't waffle and pivot and get excited about the bright, shiny object?
It's the second one. He appears to have shown conviction in his choice, so that gives me some more confidence in the decision that he made. Whether it's good or not, we'll wait and see, but it appears that Sullivan has confidence in the man that he chose.
Yeah, you know, Seth, I was thinking about this too, man. It's like, you know, I get where those two are coming from, you know, when it comes to John Eric Sullivan, you know, and Hafley. Like, it's like you go on to, you know, produce a, you know, an Emmy Award winning Fish Tank iconic and you don't bring Juice along.
Yeah, that'd be messed up.
How can you not bring Juice along just, you know, just so I get one just, you know, for having my name in the credits, big dog, you know? So that's why when you got your buddy that, you know, has got this gig and y'all been buddies for a minute, bro, it happens all the time in sports, right? But also, though, we always talk about relationships when it comes to GM and head coach. You know, a lot of times down here, Perk, you know this, they force relationships on people.
Yep.
People that
yep.
don't really know each other that well. Yep. You know, we've had a GM, then we get a head coach. We have a head coach, then we got to go get a GM. It's never been like one and the same coming together at the same time. And I think that synergy right there could prove positive for us. And we also know, we all should know this at least, that Green Bay's been doing it right. You know what I mean? For, mm-hmm. you know, they've been doing it right for a long time, man.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, if you've got that type of pedigree and that type of track record, I think it's important that we try to explore it. So, and keep that synergy with somebody, you know, and we'll see what happens right here.
So what I'm sensing is that you guys, it's not necessarily that you are excited or feel good about Jeff Hafley. You're not saying that you don't.
Right.
But it is more of the idea that you're trusting the process, you like the way the decision was made, and you like that there's an alignment between GM and head coach.
Right, right, right. And you know, we've done it so many other ways, Big Seth. And, you know, we've been on here how many weeks now doing this live show?
A lot.
Talking about last week, I think we talked, you know, forever about, at one point, about just having somebody with experience. Then, of course, you had me thinking that, you know, we should go with Shula, which I really thought was going to be a, you know, a good move too. But same time, though, at bottom line is that we have to, and let me backtrack 1 second, because for me, I've been going through this shit all year now. You know what I mean? In terms of looking for head coaches, Penn State did the same thing, you know, and I was on a campaign to, you know, head coach synergy, blah, blah, blah. And what they did was they brought in a great head coach in Matt Campbell, who I didn't know much about. But they kept my man Terry Smith. That gives us that connection with Penn State that, you know, was important to me. So the fact that we do have a first time head coach is something that we did not want. But at the same time, though, when you've got a guy that's been, you know, in terms of a GM that's been around for a long time and working with this guy Hafley, I think it's important that they do have that synergy. So, I mean, I'm a wait and see kind of guy now, man, because we've been doing this shit for too long. And, you know, I'm just, hey, I we'll see what happens when it happens.
Real quick, geez. So I know Hafley was in line for many jobs, so I looked into him as well. Are you concerned at all that he had a losing record at Boston College as a head coach? Does that translate at all?
At Boston College.
Exactly.
Well, everyone had a losing record in Indiana until they didn't.
Man. Yeah, Boston College. Now, if he had a losing record at Miami or Alabama or something like that, then we'd be like, oh, that dude's terrible. Now, right. Boston College? Man, everybody beat the brakes off Boston College.
Right. That's exactly how I feel. And let me say this too, Seth, because when Juice talks about the synergy, that's what I'm in favor of, the apparent synergy between these two guys, Seth. When you talk about the process, I'm not sure that the process was any good, because look at it like this, that Mike McDaniel should have been fired on Monday morning, Black Monday. He was still around there on Thursday. And if you listen to Darren Waller talk, Mike McDaniel wanted to bring Waller back. So you had Mike McDaniel, a 500 coach, wanted to bring back a 34-year-old tight end who missed half the season with injuries. What had really changed? Now, it turned out that they did the right thing, right? And they changed GM and head coach, and we presume quarterback. But I'm not too sure about the process of you contact 11 people and you, interview 10 and a committee of 7. Like, how many Dolphins does it take to change a damn light bulb? So I'm not so sure about the process here. I'm relying on this synergy between Halfley and Sullivan to kind of carry the thing through initially.
You know, Perk, I don't know how many exit interviews are telling the guy, yo, you're trash, bro. We're not bringing you back. You know, this is it for you. Go find another team. You know, we're looking elsewhere. Some of them, I mean, maybe a couple guys. I got fired over the phone, so I don't know how the hell that works. You know,
so did John Harbaugh, though.
Right? You know what I mean? So.
You're in good company.
Yeah, and somebody dropped a letter at Joe Paterno's house. So it's like, yo, and then ran. dropped the letter off and ran. You know, so shit happens like that, man.
Damn.
But I hear what you're saying. No, I hear what you're saying, Perk. In terms of, and honestly, that Monday press conference with Mike McDaniel told us a lot, right? Like, I mean, it told us nothing, but it was like he felt good about it. And then we had the clip of his buddy on last week talking about how he got blindsided, stabbed in the back, or whatever it might have been. You know, so I don't know but I think our owner did a great job of seeing who else got canned first. You know what I mean? In my opinion, because how many of you guys think that Harbaugh might have waited for that Buffalo job if he knew it was coming available? You know what I mean? I think that's a better gig for him than the Giants gig.
Well, said he came down to evaluating quarterbacks, right? They said he was watching tape of Jackson Dart, and he was watching tape of Cam Ward. And imagine if you'd watched some tape of Josh Allen
right, man. So it's like, yo, so we held on as long as we could, man. But you gotta pull the trigger at some point, man. And I think that, you know, they waited long enough to make the firing. Right. But then again, Perk, like you talked about, the process of making the hiring has been crazy.
Yep. So that's interesting too, right? I saw there's been some heat after Waller told that story. There's been some heat. I saw Lebatard kind of went off, but I don't know how you fire someone, but this isn't the right way. And were you guys put off by that story? Like, I don't know maybe because he said he kicked the door in, which I think that was just for effect. That was great storytelling.
I can't imagine Stephen Ross kicking a door in, bro.
Yeah, no, but I mean, if anybody could in that building, he would be the guy to do it.
He would have broke his leg. He would have broke his damn leg. What's this?
He rides in the DCC. He puts on the biker shorts and gets after it in the DC. Maybe he just takes the pictures. But the point that I am making here, the point that I am trying to make here is, like, first of all, that's his damn building.
Right.
That's his building and his team, and literally billions with a B dollars have been spent. So he could kick in every damn door that he wants to.
Right.
He paid good money for the right to do that. That's number one. But number two, it's like, I don't know what the reaction is. There were no statements. Everybody ripped the shit out of him for his statement the previous year, which I didn't have a problem with, because what it did is it ended all speculation. You might not like the decision, but you knew right when the season ended, these guys are going, you're going to ride with them again. Cool. He did that. And then the next year, there was none of that. So no, whatever comfort that Mike McDaniel felt publicly, that comfort didn't exist. That, you know, there were no guarantees. They're clearly, they knew they were interviewing general managers, and none of those guys, I have to imagine, were told, you've got to take Mike McDaniel, which was what everybody's fear was. Everybody was critical that here he goes again. It's going to be another half-assed process, and he's going to force somebody. Well, he wasn't forced on anybody, and then something happened, whether it was him sitting down with multiple GM candidates that he liked and them saying, that ain't the guy, whether it was Troy Aikman, who said, do you remember what I said on Monday Night Football? Well, I meant it. You know, whatever it might have been, he listened to all of that and then decided, like, does he have to let his guy go on Thursday? I mean, on Monday? Or can he wait to Thursday? I don't see what the problem is. And the fact that McDaniel was doing his job, which he He told us he was going to coach the Miami Dolphins until he was told that he wasn't the coach of the Miami Dolphins anymore. And that's what he did, literally up until that moment. So I don't know what the problem was with that. I don't have a problem with that part of the process. I'm actually glad that, like you said, Drew, they took their time and didn't make a rash decision one way or another. Mike McDaniel could have been fired after the Cleveland game, you know, if you really wanted to be serious here and be honest with yourselves. They waited until after the season. They waited until they started their process. They got the guy that they wanted as general manager. Will he be the guy? We'll find out soon enough. But he was clearly highly regarded as an up-and-coming star in the personnel decisions-making. I thought the process with the coaches started – like a thorough process. Chris said 11 interviews, 11 requests, 10 interviews, and seven people in the bed. That's pretty damn funny. But, you know, it was thorough. I just, as I indicated last week, had wished they had taken a little bit more time to see. There's two really good candidates, and now three, but two what I think really good candidates, first-time candidates, that are going to be playing in division championship games or conference championship games, partially because of how good of a job those guys are doing at coaching their, you know, their respective sides of the ball. I would have liked to have seen that process carried out. But if they believe, going back to Chris Perkins' point of conviction, if they believe that the guy was Halfley, then they got him before somebody else could get him. Because imagine if that's the guy they wanted, and then he ended up coaching the Tennessee Titans.
Right, and Halfley, how many interviews did Halfley have, Chris? I mean, you know, Mike, I think Mike just had us, right? I think Mike only interviewed pretty much with the Dolphins. Yeah. But Halfley's got – there's a lot of interest. When you see a guy with a lot of interest, you've got to have interest.
Yeah.
And follow-up requests, right? Like he has an interview request.
Come back for more. So something that first one was intriguing that we want to hear a little bit more about you or whatever you got philosophy-wise, you know? And I hope there was no Tua questions in this interview process about, you know, what are you going to do with this? You know, I mean, seriously, I mean, like Mike got his job because he was the guy that was going to bring Tua back. And he did.
Yeah,
he did. Mm-hmm. He fixed Tua for a little while until Tua was too broken physically, I think, and mentally, honestly, to be able to be out there effectively for this football team. So he did what he said he was going to do, as long as he could do it, in my opinion.
You know what would be interesting to find out was he brought in to fix Tua or to show us what we have with Tua? Because, like, we don't know. We know the guy we just let go couldn't stand him, was willing to do the Cleveland Browns Deshaun Watson deal to get rid of Tua Tagovailoa. That's how badly he wanted him out of here. And we don't know what we have because we drafted the guy and we think there's something there. And Mike McDaniel, I will say to his credit, he showed you what the absolute ceiling was for Tua Tagovailoa. And then Mike McDaniel and Tua Tagovailoa showed you what the floor was. And they can, you know, the problem is they gave him a $200 million contract somewhere in between those things. Right. But I think that was, you know, I wonder, was he brought in to fix him or was he brought in to really show what he had with him? I'll also say, you know, I was reading, I think Mike Olivia, it looks like, is there ever a good time to fire someone? I mean, yeah, a good time to fire someone is before he ruins your franchise any longer. I think that's the right time to fire him. But he said, why make him work a 10-hour day? For those of you who don't know this, and OJ McDuffie certainly knows this, they will cut a guy that they know they want to cut. They'll let, and when I say they, anybody in the National Football League, they'll get another practice out of them. Right. They'll make sure, hey, if we're going to let this guy, if we know at 10 a.m. that we need to cut somebody, but we have practice at 2, let's get through the, unless they're worried about an injury deal, hey, we need that extra lineman. You know, we can't afford to be down a lineman. We need these reps. And they'll have a guy go out there and bust his ass for 3 hours.
Oh, it's nasty.
And then if he's walking off the field, tell him to clean out his shit. Like, that's
nasty
real.
Nasty business. Nasty business, man. Yep. Nasty business, man. Yeah, guys, and that's why I get, you know, people talk about, you know, loyalty to teams. There's no loyalty up front. You know what I mean? So very few guys get the opportunity to decide when they want to leave this football game. And most of the time it's unceremoniously when they let guys go, you know? And so when you talk about that, Big Seth, sometimes they want to get guys out there to play to show that they're not hurt in practice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that, you know,
get it
so
off
we
field.
Can't go get the money, you know, or for an injury settlement or whatever. You know, this guy is full go out here. We talking about injury settlement, but then
and again, probably questioned their manhoods before that practice too, right, Juice?
Correct. Oh man, bro, it's bad, man. It's really really bad, and it's a dirty game. And so for anybody talking about loyalty for players to teams, teams don't have loyalty to players most of the time. Now Mike McDaniel showed a lot of loyalty to a lot of his players. And
probably that too much.
Too much loyalty. Yeah, too that much. Was rare stuff right there. You know, when you talk about a perk, you know this. You know when. We can start off with Tua's deal. We can talk about Tyreek being re-upped. We can talk about Jalen Ramsey being re-upped. You know, man, those are things that you don't see in the league, and it crippled our team. It's crippling our team now.
Yeah.
You know, so you got to have a hard-ass coach that doesn't give a damn about, you know, anything. I think Jimmy wanted to get rid of Danny right away, and our owner wouldn't let it happen. You know, so you've got to really have a hard-ass coach that, you know, doesn't give a damn about players, even though it sucks. It's the nature of the business.
Juice, real quick, what do you think about – it seems like the trend is you go players coach to hard-ass coach. And I don't know Jeff Hafley, but obviously Mike McDaniel seemed to lean player coach. And now I think you're going to have a little more discipline. Is that a real thing that happens in the NFL? And it seems like you get a boost – for the first couple seasons, at least, when that happens.
I want any coach that comes in initially to be a hard ass, Chad. Be a hard ass, because I always equate it to being a kindergarten teacher. You can't be a nice kindergarten teacher the first week of school, and then you've got the kids running all over the place, and then all of a sudden you got to be a hard ass. Kids ain't buying it, you know? I think the same thing has to happen when it comes to being a head coach. You come in there as a hard ass. Hey, Jimmy Johnson had everybody on edge. You know, I don't know if Danny Marino was on edge, but my ass was on edge, and I was the leading receiver on the team, you know, but people were on edge. Everybody was on edge, you know, and it kind of – that's how you go. And then, you know, he'll, of course, pick out his favorites. Basically, the whole defense was his favorites. Fuck the offense, this philosophy, but fuck that. That's not what we're talking about here. You know what I mean? But same time, though, you know, I think most defensive-minded coaches, most DCs, they're hard asses already. Offensive guys, we're you know – offensive coaches, not players, not players. Offensive coaches, they're kind of soft with people, and I think that, you know, that goes throughout the whole locker room a lot of times.
So,
and you know what, Seth? Hard-ass
offensive coach, Big Seth?
Well, a hard-ass offensive coach? I think Kyle Shanahan is a hard-ass offensive coach. I think he is absolutely a mother effer, and he's an offensive-minded coach, but I think he's that dude. I really do. Savak, you got – Sean Payton's another great example.
Yeah,
that's another.
And McVay.
That's a great point.
Sean Payton's old school. He's old school like that too. I get it. I get what you're saying. You know what I mean? And from what I understand, you know, he's also whatever. But mostly the defensive minded guys are the motherfuckers that are tough out there on guys, man. Because I mean, that's the toughest side of the ball, obviously, man.
Yeah.
Those dudes right there are the ones you gotta rip dudes, man.
So, this leads me into the thing that I wanted to ask you guys. Go ahead, Bert.
No, I was going to say, you know, to address Chad's point and Juice, I don't like swinging between hard ass and players coach. I like for a team to make a decision and stick with it is what I like about the Hafley thing. And what I've been writing all week is that it's not about who they hire. It's about what he brings. And what they need is that mentality all throughout the organization. This organization, I don't want to say that they're paper soft all the way through, but they prioritize the wrong things. You cannot prioritize being the number one offense in the league in 2023 and hand out contract extensions based on that. That's bullshit. You've got to be more solid. You've got to be more focused. You've got to have a concrete foundation, and I hope that's what Hafley brings. Don't have to be a hard ass. You just have to have priorities straight. No more participation trophies for the Miami Dolphins. We're going to celebrate playoff victories, or else the season was not a success.
Yeah. You know, Seth, real quick, let me follow that up. Like, When you're talking about hard-ass coaches, I think when you have a coach that, quote-unquote, like I was talking about, is a hard-ass, you got to have players that don't mind hard coaching. That's more what I'm talking about. Because we all grew up with that. You look at my coach. My high school coach was not – he was a tough coach, but he never cursed at us, but he was a tough coach. Then I've got Paterno, then I got Shula, then I got Johnson. You know what I mean? So I don't – like, when I'm talking about a hard ass, I got somebody that does – they might not be, you know, motherfucking people.
Right.
But at the same time, though, they're willing to rip somebody. You know, and you got to have players that are willing to be that understand they're going to get ripped if they mess up, and they still got to go out there and perform. So, like, that's the kind of coach that I want out there, man, because that's the one you grew up. But don't go out there. Bottom line is go out there and do your job, and you won't have to feel the wrath of these coaches.
Well, that's it, right? Like, being in charge and being a great leader and being a disciplinarian doesn't necessarily mean you have to come out and MF people. And you know, certainly those things sometimes all are aligned, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to. And that leads me to the thing that I wanted to bring up. So I don't know. Well, I'm going to bring this up in a second, but I want to ask Perk a question about it first. So Travis Wingfield had John Eric Sullivan. He's the only person that's had him here locally. All of the writers wrote about that interview. It was a great interview. It was interesting to learn a little bit about John Eric Sullivan. And I thought Travis did a great job. But all of the writers wrote about it, and they made sure to call it an in-house interview, Perk. So I want to talk about something that he said that I found was interesting in the interview. But tell me why it was so important for all of the writers. And I felt like some of them just said it, I guess, so we knew that it was put out by the Dolphins. And some of them said it there was a little bit of a hint of, why the hell isn't he been made available to the rest of us? So can you shed some light on that as a guy who spends every waking moment in the press room?
Yeah. You say in-house because there are certain issues that weren't addressed, like Tua, right? And in-house doesn't want to address those types of things. So you make sure that people know this was a brother-in-law job, right? That you know, hey, wink, wink, we're not going to ask you some things that make you uncomfortable. There is some media, unhappiness. I would say pissed offness. Is that a term? Because they do provide their own news narrative before we can do it. But look, that's the way of journalism nowadays. That's the way of teams, right? They have their own websites. They have their own social media. They want to define the narrative. They don't want to leave it to journalists. And so that's why they allow their guy to have the first interview. Now we know what John Eric Sullivan thinks in his own words on a platform that's friendly to him. He can tell us, you know, who he thinks the core players are, all of that. It's not people firing questions at him and questions that might not be favorable. This is the chance for him to express himself and let you know who he is, kind of on his terms, as opposed to perhaps being defensive at times.
Got it. Well, I got most of it. I do look forward to seeing how you all handle tomorrow when both John Eric Sullivan and Jeff Happy is introduced.
So you got most of it?
I got most of it. I can't. I'd be lying if I said I got all of it, but I did get most of it. But click one at AOL.com. But in that interview, he was asked what he looks for, what he'll be looking for in a head coaching candidate. And I thought his answer was really interesting because he's like, look, I'm the son of a coach. And first of all, a coach has to be a great teacher and a great communicator. And he talked about being an expert in the field, both on the field and off the field in the rules, so that you have an advantage over teams that don't have an expert on the field or off the field, and that you can take advantage of teams that make mistakes, and you can take advantage, you know, both mentally and so it was interesting to hear those answers, and that there was a clear cut, like there's the haves and have nots. And I think I can recognize who they are. Now the proof will be in the pudding, and we'll see if he picked the guy that does. But I thought that shed some light on what we're going to see with Jeff Hafley, because when you heard, you know, look, Dolphin fans, including myself, there was a tinge of disappointment, if not some other silliness and his haircut and the whole thing. But you heard about a guy who was a great communicator. You heard about a guy whose players played for him. You heard about Richard Sherman, spoke very highly of him. Micah Parsons had nice things to say, you know, and Micah's Mike is a guy who speaks his mind. If he had some issues, I think we might have heard it. And so I'm really interested to see what we get. And I've gotten past whatever disappointment I have. And I'm like, look, this is a head coach of the team that I cheer for, the team right. that I talk about, the team that I cover. So at this point, he's got our back, Juice, right? Like, Halfley's our right. guy until he isn't. And you know, he has an opportunity to prove it. But I really thought that if you go back and listen to that in-house interview, that John Eric Sullivan does shed some light on the type of coach that he's looking for, in addition to just the type of players that he's looking for.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Seth, that's how we're going to roll, man. And I think no matter what, you know, you really got to take the words from the coaches. I mean, from the players that, you know, that have been around him. You know, but sometimes you can't, though. How bad did our guys talk about your boy in Philly right now? You know what I mean? The DC in Philly. And then look at him. I mean, hell, wins the Super Bowl. And then, you know, comes back and they're back in the playoffs and probably should have won another football game. And the defense is stellar. Granted, now his defense was bomb ass. They had a great defense. But at the same time, though, I'd like to hear from the players mostly about how they feel about guys.
Yep.
You know, and then I can go from the rest. Because honestly, the players spend the most time with those dudes. You know, sometimes, you know, you got GMs that spend time with some of these coaches. But at the same time, though, what are they talking about a lot of times? I mean, what are they talking about? Like, how is Halfley, and, you know, we don't know how he's going to be in front of the whole team, because how often has he been in front of the whole team? But we don't know that stuff. You know?
Right.
We don't know if he's actually a leader of men, but he looks like he is. You know, I don't care what he looks like. He looks like he don't fuck around. And that's the kind of guy that I'd like on, you know, my team.
Hard ass. You know? Juice wants a hard ass.
Yeah, exactly right. And that's the kind of coach I would love to play for, guys like that, man. So, you know, it's like we talked about earlier, man. It's definitely a wait and see thing. And I can't wait for tomorrow. I'll be tuned in live for that tomorrow. You know, I know that John Eric Sullivan, you know, he's got some interesting views, in my opinion. I think that's going to be the kind of guy that we're going to love as, you know, as our general manager. And this thing too, man, right now, this is the time where they can go in there honestly and pick and choose who they want to keep around, because there's no allegiance to anybody in that locker room. Zero allegiance to anybody in that locker room. So everybody's got to show and prove that they're the kind of players that they want to have on that football team. And I love that part about it. You know, you don't have the GM come being there when Mike got there and all the other stuff that went on before. You got two new cats that are selecting the players for this football team. And it's going to be what we kind of – how they envision how a football team should be. And what they've done in Green Bay, they know how to pick football players that know how to play the damn game.
Yeah, so – and that leads me to another question that I have is – and I think, you know, Steve who just asked in there, what about the offensive coordinator, right? He comes in right. as a defensive-minded coach, and he was at a system – you know, he was in Green Bay, and heck, we just had a coach that fell from that Shanahan tree. What are they going to do to build out their staff? And I think this is where the – because a lot of people felt, all right, John Eric Sullivan just went – for his buddy who he was with in Green Bay. You know, I saw Jeff Darlington say, look, he was only with him for 2 years. John Eric Sullivan was in Green Bay for 30 years. He was only with Halfley for 2 years. Let's not act like they were better. You know, this isn't McVay and Shula, where they played college ball together and have been with each other every step of the way. They were only with each other for a couple years. But now, okay, great. He was with him. He felt he was a guy that makes sense. They're aligned in the way they probably sat in rooms together and evaluated players together. But now, does every coach, you know, we're starting to see offensive coordinator candidate, the offensive line coach at Green Bay didn't call plays, and so maybe he can be that. Like, I don't think everybody, this doesn't need to be Green Bay South. Right. You want to go get Malik Willis? I think we'll give that a shot. But it doesn't, like, everybody doesn't have to be from Green Bay. And Green Bay has been a successful program, and we wish we had the success of Green Bay. But, you know, they haven't won a championship in a little while either. And they didn't win one without Aaron Rodgers. And, hell, they couldn't win one with Aaron Rodgers towards the end of his career. So I just think that everybody doesn't have to come from Green Bay, because if they do, then I start to feel like we do have some green and yellow colored glasses.
Wait, real quick. You haven't won a playoff game since O.J. McDuffie laced it up.
Since I worked for the team, yes, I agree with you, Chad. They have not won a playoff game since I was in the PR department.
So I think you guys should sign Aaron Rodgers and make a run. Anyway, I'll leave that there.
Well, Chad, honestly, Aaron Rodgers had your coach go 0-7 in the last playoff runs, and now he's gone. So, yeah, so don't – we'll pass on that one, hard pass on that one, Big Chad. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, getting to the playoffs, man, that's all I'm asking for right now. Again, I ask for that every year. Just get me to the playoffs. Now I'm asking for is just a playoff win. And then next year I'll ask for a playoff home game. And then next year I'll ask for a playoff bye. And then the following year I'll ask for, a chance to the Super Bowl. And then the following year I want to go win it, So I've got a game plan here, Big Seth. It's a process.
5-year plan, a ring.
It's a process.
All right, trust the process. Are you going to the presser tomorrow, Juice?
Hell no, I ain't going to the presser, man.
Why not?
I'm going to watch it live on TV.
Perk just left for it now.
Yeah, he gone. His car is probably as fast as internet. So he might have to get going right now to get there. You know what I mean?
David Fernandez said, I'm glad he writes for a living. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That was too – he just wants to make sure he's got that front row seat so he can ask the hard questions that the in-house interviewer did not
ask. I want to ask him that, too. But hey, Perk, I got a question for you, Perk. I'm glad you're back. Welcome back, Perk. I got a question for you. Do you guys have, do you have seats in the press room where nobody sits in that seat because they know that's Chris Perkins' seat, or you got to get there to get it?
It's unofficially assigned.
Is he muted?
Okay. No. I'm on a delay. I don't know. It's unofficially assigned.
So,
I
think I'm so I'll answer for him. So his HOA president determines where he sits.
I don't know what's going on.
And because they have a lot more power than Perk ever will.
So me and Omar sit right up front, and we have a deal. Whoever gets there first gets that
Perk,
shit.
You can't make Perk. This up, man.
I feel bad, Perk, man. I know.
And Perk gives us his time.
So good. Does he, though? Does he? Does he really?
Half the time. They give us half the time.
I give you all I got.
I think there are seats. It's kind of like the guy who gets to sit at the back of the bus. And when you get on the bus and you're the new kid and you go sit on the back of the bus, the half seat where everything's a two or three seater, and there's that one half seat, and there's just a big dude who, even though there's a school uniform, he's got the sleeves cut off like Chad, sun's out, guns out. And no, everybody knows that's his damn seat. I think it's a little bit appreciate it, Mike. I think it's a little bit like that in the press room. But what I really think would be funny, and I wish Perk was here, not just here, but all the way here. I think it would be really funny if somebody just came and sat down. Do you remember during Hard Knocks when they signed JPP and he sat in what's the name's dude? Oh my God, I'm drawing a blank now. The defensive end who blew out his knee covering the punt. Good, right? Yeah, he sat and he comes into the meeting. He was a young guy, and JPP's in his seat, and he's just sitting there, and he's like, "Where the hell I go?" So I think it's a little bit like that. Go sit in Hal Habib's seat in the presser, and things might get out of whack. But they're doing this, I believe. I don't think they're doing it in the press room. I think it's gotta be something bigger than that, right?
I was standing in the press room. I didn't have a seat in there, so I didn't go often enough. To have a seat in there, so yeah, I feel what you said. Yeah, this is a big deal, right? Who's going to be pressing for this? I know, of course,
ownership,
Captain Sullivan, owner, Mr. Ross is going to be there, of course. You're not going to put him in a little press room, so it's got to be a big extravaganza, right?
I think it's definitely going to be, and I also think you have to make it that because it isn't. You didn't get Harbaugh, right? If you had Harbaugh, you could have done it in a shoebox and it would have been a big deal and it didn't matter. And I'm not saying they should have hired Harbaugh. I'm just saying the fact that it is a name that people aren't throwing ticker tape parades for, it has to be a big, I don't think they're going to have fireworks and all of that, but I do think, you're hiring a new head coach. And actually, when Mike McDaniel was hired, they did it in the indoor facility as well, if I'm correct. I think they did. So it makes sense. It's on brand. And yes, you're going to, I mean, if I'm the owner and I paid for this big, beautiful $1 billion building, don't stick me in the shoe closet. So I get that as well. Is Troy Aikman going to be there? That is a great question, Mike Olivia. You know, Troy Aikman was brought on to consult for the GM search, did such a great job that they said, help us out with the head coaching process as well. It'd be interesting to see if he'll be there. And then does that mean that we might see Troy around more? So I don't know. I don't know.
Right. You know, I think, I think that a lot of those guys that were involved, man, I mean, I know Perk talked about all the guys that were involved in the process. I think you do need a lot of input. You need so much input when it comes to these guys, you know, to flush out some of the stuff that's, you know, that's good and bad about some guys. And what do you know about these people?
Yeah.
If you rely on a couple of people to make the decision, I think it's not a very good idea. That's why, I mean, honestly, that's why there's 6 to 12 juries in a, you know, when it comes to a criminal case, because you can't just count on two people to determine somebody's innocence or guilt or, you know, the right person for a situation. So, was that a reload? We relocated somewhere?
Yeah, I relocated. I'm not doing the background, so I'm seeing if that helps.
It's
night and day.
Experience. Let's be real. He went to Starbucks nearby.
Got a piece from home and put it over his head real quick.
That's a better move. I appreciate that part.
So good.
They said I gotta keep buying stuff though, so I don't know.
Yeah,
that's night and day right there, Perk. Good job, bro.
It might be the background. It's unbelievable.
The thing is, I think every show, the first 15 minutes, we still need the old Perk because it's part of the.
We'll lose
a little bit of our magic.
We need that Perk. Everybody, a lot of people tune in for you, Perk, for that part of it. So,
Perk, if you show up tomorrow, and then there's just some geek media guy that, you know, that writes for whatever, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say the wrong thing and offend the wrong person. Right. But somebody who's not a regular, somebody who writes for your condo's newsletter, right? If that person's sitting in your seat, like, how does Chris Perkins handle that?
I just stare at him for a while. And just wonder, you know, don't you know who I am? You know,
right?
And then that's right, exactly. So that's pretty much it. It's unofficially assigned seats, so yeah, you just kind of give them a look and you kind of look around, and there's a little tension in the room, but then it passes. Yeah, it passes.
And who's in the front row? Like, tell us who's got. I want to know Miami Dolphins media contingent. Who's got the seniority prime seating front row?
Okay, so starting from the far left, it would be Barry Jackson. Then it would be Hal Habib and Joe Shad on that side of the room. On the other side of the aisle, it would be me and then Omar and then Alan Poupart. And then in the second row, David Ferones will sit in the second row. Isaiah Smalls from the Miami Herald. Cam Wolf likes to sit in the back. Marcel Louis Jacques from ESPN likes to sit in like the third or fourth row. But always like front and center, so you're in the eye line and you can talk over anybody.
Right.
real quick, Seth, because I think the chat actually agrees with me on this. Perk, do you think Troy Aikman's gonna be anywhere near any of this, or is he done?
I think he's done. I think that they want to keep this at least publicly right now as a sheer consultant's role, not as a role where he's eventually going to move into the front office and have some kind of spot like that.
And if he does show up, does that say something?
Yes, I think it does, because it shows that he's more than an advisor, right? Like this is an intro, you know, let these men have their shine. Let Sullivan and Halfley have their shine. If Troy shows up, he becomes a big part of the story all of a sudden. Why is Troy here instead of preparing for a playoff game or whatever?
Right. Fair enough. And this is the question I wanted to ask. Thank you, Mike Olivia from Dolphins Talk. If Dave Hyde shows up, does someone get bumped out? Like, where does Hyde sit based on that hierarchy?
Oh, you know what? Actually, yeah. Now, Hyde will sit in the front row. Hyde will squeeze into the front row. like between Omar and Poopart, or between me and Poopart. So yeah, it can get kind of crowded up there. You know, you gotta make yourself big.
Yeah.
Now, Perk, Seth said that it won't be in the media room, though, so it's going to be a little more room, right? Is that right?
They're having it in the bubble.
So there'll be more front row indoor seats, so you guys don't have to beat nobody up, Perk. You ain't got to beat nobody up.
No. But you know, I'm going to carry my sack of nickels just in case. You never know.
Code red on these mugs, man. You got to go code red on them. Tell them they can't handle the truth.
I love it.
Okay. So I want to get into what Juice did today, but before we do that, I know this is a Dolphins show, but can we just talk about how overnight the Buffalo Bills have become the dumpster fire of the National Football League? Does anybody understand what the hell is going on over there?
I do not, you know, and I have love for, you know, the owner there. He's a Penn State guy, and he built an amazing iceplex for our hockey team that got the number one player in hockey coming out, and we gave him a nice NIL deal. I don't know where the money came from, but I can only imagine the owner of the Buffalo Bills and the Buffalo Sabres has a couple bucks in his pocket that could help it out. I was just watching his daughter, Jess Pegula, you know, she's over in Australian Open, kicking a little ass right now, too. So they've got it going on, but man, what's going on in Buffalo? I absolutely love it, Big Seth. You know, I mean, finally somebody, you know, take the spotlight off of our dysfunction at times and let the Buffalo Bills handle that right there. And it's been fun to watch. I met Bean when he was at the Penn State, the Whiteout game against Oregon. He seemed like a very nice guy, but I don't know what the hell is going on there, Big Seth. So let them continue doing what they're doing. I was trying to recruit him for us. You know, I don't know if I'm allowed. Am I allowed to do that? That's not tampering.
You do whatever the hell you want. You're not a W-2 employee.
But, you know, after seeing what's been going on, Big Seth, I'm glad that somebody within our division, especially the Buffalo Bills, are going through what they're going through.
Can I be the voice of reason real quick?
Yep. Sure, go for it.
Because if I was on I don't even know what you call it, but a Buffalo take, they'd be telling you guys that you are – the dumpster fire, and the Jets are the dumpster fire.
Like, after what happened the last two days.
No, 100%. Like they were one crazy catch away, and Juice can talk more about it. And I know the rules are the rules. Look like a catch under the rules, probably not a catch. Whatever, right, from advancing, and you guys want to be in that space. Like that's where you want to be.
No doubt.
And they're tweaking things, and they may get it right, they may get it completely wrong.
Chad, they fired their head coach. That ain't a tweak.
No, it's a big tweak, because you have the MVP, one of the MVP of the league, that is going to make you win 8 games, even if you have me coaching and I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So you have a team that if they make the right decision, they can win a Super Bowl. If they make the wrong decision, it can be really bad. But you see it with New England right now.
Chad, you're talking about that catch, interception. If that catch is a catch, then they're going to the AFC Championship game. McDermott doesn't get fired. So what decide that? That's how close they were to winning, going to the AFC Championship game.
I'm thinking
that he's that close to the AFC Championship game. How the hell do you let him go in that situation?
Oh, I don't disagree. It could significantly backfire, but that was the hottest job. As you said earlier, that these other coaches should have waited longer potentially to get that job. And maybe they do, maybe they don't. But this, one way or the other, this is going to go either New England Patriots, or it could go a different direction, because
Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, it's the hottest job. It was the hottest job because of Josh Allen.
Right, 100%.
But if you are now a potential head coaching candidate for Buffalo, and you watch that press conference, and you sat there, and then you know, Terry Pegula does the Chad Van Horn. He's like, Brandon, can I say something real quick?
Right.
And he's like, he jumps in there. Can I say something real quick? And then he's like, Ben didn't want Keon. Let me tell you about the Keon situation. He didn't want him. And then it takes about 6 minutes for Twitter to blow up with video of Brandon just, I'm glad he ran that 40 so we can get him. He's our guy unless somebody blows us away. And he's ever, oh my God, I just felt badly for Brandon Bean. Here's a guy who was so good in the schedule release, right? He got AI for the schedule release. The Allen Iverson, I think, is one of the best schedule releases the entire National Football League. Buffalo is having this great run. Probably should have been in the damn AFC Championship, and they couldn't get past Bo Nix and the whole deal. And lo and behold, they have fallen apart at the seams in about in 15 minutes. It's unbelievable. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
All because of Keon Coleman, too.
All because of Keon.
Yeah. But you know what? But I'll say that the fans up there, y'all know I got a cousin up there in Buffalo. They do not like Brandon Bean at all. They hate Keon Coleman. And so this is kind of what you're seeing bubble to the surface. And then obviously, you know, with all these teams, there's different levels of achievement and frustration, right? So Baltimore has one level. Buffalo has one level. Dallas had one level. It's different levels of frustration where you can seem like a dumpster fire. Dallas always seems like a dumpster fire, right? Because of Jerry Jones and him mouthing off. But, yeah, I would say right now Buffalo does seem kind of like a dumpster fire right now.
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable, and I'm loving every
second. Somebody else win the offseason when it comes to shit shows, man.
That's it.
We win it every other year, man. Let somebody else win it.
You know, despite people not liking the way Mike McDaniel was let go, which I think is just so ridiculous – But the Dolphins have just been kind of like flying under. I mean, they've been doing what they've been doing, and they're hiring people that were highly regarded. But there hasn't been a whole lot of pomp and circumstance, and I think that's maybe a healthy thing for this franchise. I guess we shall see.
Seth, real quick. Because I've dealt with this as a professional. I have about 100 employees, and I want to get your opinion, OJ, everybody's opinion. What is the proper way of letting somebody go?
Well,
because it's a difficult thing. What perk you start while your internet's working?
Exactly. I know. I'm gonna send them a payment in 2 seconds here. I'm not mad at how Mike McDaniel got let go because there is no ideal way to let somebody go. I mean, I guess there is an ideal, but I don't know how often it works out. I'm sure Mike McDaniel has called people to cut them during the middle of, you know, some family function, family reunion. Hey, you got a call and you're cut. You know, it's a tough business. I don't feel bad for Mike. They should have done him better, but I don't feel bad for
how?
Mike.
In what way?
You should have let him go on Monday morning, on Black Monday, in a ceremonious fashion, not interrupting a player exit meeting, but whatever. My big deal is that Mike was still, my bigger deal is with the process. Stephen Ross had Mike still employed on Thursday. Mike should have been fired on Monday. My problem isn't the process of firing him. It's that he wasn't fired earlier. That's what shows me the dysfunction might still be there.
Yeah, I don't agree. I think that he felt that this was a guy he liked. He probably hung on to him too long because he liked him. And he didn't make any rash decisions, but it looked like he was leaning towards keeping him. And then he quickly came to realize that all of these other people that were impressing him as football men wanted to go in a different direction. Yeah, and he made the decision.
I don't know. I'm with Perk on this one, man. I'm like, don't come in and fire me when I'm interviewing or talking, doing an exit meeting with a player, man.
Right.
I think that's BS right there, Big Seth. If you want to fire me at 7 a.m. before I come to work. You talk about the players. You talk about the players getting fired coming off the field, you know, after they have put in a full day of practice. Right. That sounds like the same thing.
Well, that's why I brought it up earlier. That's why I brought it up.
That's professionalism, man. I think you make that decision at 7 a.m. Even if it's on Thursday or Monday, whatever it is. Don't let players be in a meeting with you.
What if he had players in all day? Like, I just don't have an issue with it.
Look, bro. Come on, Seth.
I don't have an issue with it. I don't have an issue with it.
Yeah, obviously you don't, man. But I think that's bullshit that you don't have an issue with something like that. Now, if JT bumped in right now and said, Seth, you're done with Jason Taylor Foundation, in the middle of this, you'd be like, bro, I'm in the middle. What are you going to say?
I'd be crushed, but it is what it is. Like, that's his right to do it. Here's the only issue I have. If he did lead Mike McDaniel to believe that he would be the coach of the Miami Dolphins in 2026 and then did an abrupt about face, which he's still entitled to do, then I understand why Mike would feel away. But the timing of it, I could give a shit.
Not in front of a player, bro. Not in front of a player, bro. I'm sorry.
He didn't do it in front of a player. He asked for the room.
We kicked him out. He kicked the player out. So he asked for the room.
I don't have an issue with it. And if that makes me a bad cold guy,
the player said that he just barely got out of the room, and then it was on ESPN, the ticker that the dude got fired. So that's a whole other issue.
The leaking thing and the way information's going out and all that's a whole other issue. And I don't want to make irresponsible speculation as it relates to that.
I just know that Mike's a great guy. You know what I mean? And I thought that more respect should have been shown in that situation. Either way Perk said, get it done on Monday, or don't do it in front of a player on Thursday. That's all, man.
Fair enough. Now, listen, I'm smart enough to do this show not from my office, so JT would have to figure out where the hell I'm at if he needs to come get me right now. So he probably
I'm sure he's got you on Life 360.
He does. That's a good point. But when you said what's the right way to fire somebody, Chad Van Horn, I mean – they put out a wonderful statement about him. They did this great tribute video to him. They do all this shit. They cut players now and do all these beautiful love, hug, love videos on Twitter. I'm like, I've never seen anything like this. Yeah. And it's kind of the things that they do. So I thought they were respectful in the way the organization handled it. And, you know, I mean, the fact that he went up to the guy's office and somebody was sitting in there, I don't have an issue with it. I'm telling you how they cut me, Chaz.
They cut my ass. They said, OJ, we're letting you go. Do you want to come in and get your stuff, or do you want to send it to you? I said, man, fuck y'all, man. Send my shit to me.
See what I'm saying? Like
the next morning, seven boxes of shit. The next morning, I woke up, and it was like my guy was at the door. Ding dong. I had boxes and boxes of shit. They cut me quick.
Hey, Juice, well, I have it much worse than you. There was this guy that you were teammates with named Terry Smith.
Oh,
he came to me and he's like, listen, we have enough tall, slow, white receivers. Maybe you should concentrate on basketball.
He didn't say that to you, did he?
And I was like, so am I still on the team? He's like, I mean, you can come to the games. It's like $5 a ticket.
He's scoring record, Chad. He's worried about. He's mad you broke the scoring record. I get it, man.
I mean, he wasn't wrong.
We're way behind schedule here. I want to go. So, Juice, I want to get in. I tried to tell y'all, but you had information that you wanted to share with us. You had a pretty cool thing that happened today. We just talked about all the wrong ways to do things in your. You know, I guess in the minority here because I didn't have an issue with it. But something happened today that you thought was the right way to handle something. Share it with us. I know you wanted to.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's funny that you say that because I went today to Pompano Beach Fire and Rescue place today, the firehouse there, Station 61. And I was able to surprise Tommy. Of course, his mom, Lydia, who wasn't there as the 2025 Dolphin Fan of the Year. Of course, they're going to the Super Bowl. They got tickets from the Dolphins. But he also told me this about the Dolphins that he's talked to. They've got like a chat with all the other fans of the year. And they haven't, like a lot of them haven't heard from the organizations, but not Tommy. Tommy said they came to his job, as we did today, came to his mom's house. They met him out at a restaurant. They did all these different things with the team, actually went out there and showed the fan of the year a lot of love compared to what other organizations did, man. So we had a fun. I went around the block, man. You know, had the sirens on. I was in the fire truck. You know, I was like, all right, now time for me to go home, man. You know what I mean? You guys go into fires. I run away from them.
Yeah.
You know, but just a great experience today with Tommy and all the guys there at the firehouse. I'm gonna talk about. You want to talk about clean? Man, going to a firehouse, you want to learn how to clean some stuff up. everything was immaculate. Every single thing was immaculate, man. And you know, he's excited about going to out to San Francisco for the game. He doesn't fly, but he's got to fly to San Francisco. He wanted to drive out there. They said, "What's going to take you about 6 days?" He said, "No, all right, we'll fly." yeah, man, it was a great experience, man. All by the Dolphins and Ticketmaster. Ticketmaster hooked it up, so it was great, bro.
Love it. Great stuff. Great stuff. Congrats to Tommy. Awesome that you can be a part of that, Juice. And nice to get a little behind the scenes action on that. Let's roll into I tried to tell y'all. Are you doing one today, Juice?
I'll do one, man.
All right. What you tried to tell us?
First of all, I tried to tell y'all, and Chad asked about this amazing glass right here. That's from my good peeps at, you know, Miami Hops 305, the Drunken Dolphin. So, you know, and Sesto has these Zubaz pants.
I do.
Somewhere, if Marianne didn't make him get rid of them, he still got these.
I got them hidden in the bottom of the drawer, man. Damn, she don't right. know they're there.
Just to keep away from putting on stuff that she don't want to get touched. All right, so here we go. So I tried to tell y'all that I honestly don't really have shit else to say. I don't, you know. No, but seriously, though. You know.
Okay.
No, okay. I've tried to be positive about this team as a whole. You know, the draft. It's been okay. You know, Chris Greer gets fired. You know, the coaches over the years, they've all gotten fired. You know, the players, you know, we've been underwhelmed by 90% of the guys that we've had. The fans, well, they've been good and some bad, I guess. I don't know. It's been rough sometimes with fans. But I was forced to be a Dolphins fan. I was forced to be a part of this organization. April of 1993. I didn't ask for this shit. I really didn't, man. I was forced into this life. My kids were forced into this life. You know, they've seen very few playoff appearances, and they've seen zero wins. My boys are 17-23, Perk. 17-23. You know, I bought so many jerseys of players that, you know, last one, maybe two, maybe 3 years. You know, Nike.com and Fanatics, they've got me by the you-know-what. They do, man. I got all this shit, man. I have mad t-shirts that should probably go to third world countries, like where, you know, the Miami Hurricane National Championship hats and t-shirts get it right now.
How you gonna get
me
fired? All
right, but I love the Canes. I love the Canes. They're my second favorite football team. I promise you that. But this is Big Ten's in the house right now, Big Seth. Give me a break, man. You know, and that's 3 years running. I'm just saying. That's all I'm just saying.
That's
so
true.
I have so many former player jerseys, you know, not from retirement, just gone. Now I only rock Marino jersey, Zach Thomas jersey, Jason Taylor jersey, and my favorite, of course, is Jim Kick jersey. So I'm not spending any more money on this team, you know, or any current or future players. I'm done with that shit. No more. That's it. That is it, Big Seth. Like you told me on, you know, Home Alone, you said, that is it. You possess your wide receiver. Going in. But what I'm really trying to say is that, I don't give a damn about anything I just said, man. Honestly, I'm a ride or die with the aqua and orange.
Yeah, like one nice hat's going to come out.
Optimistic about, you know what I mean, the next season or the next season or the next season. That's just how I roll. So, Sullivan and Halfley, I'm with you. I'm with you. And maybe one day we can be Indiana and win that miracle championship. I'll be waiting with my OJ McDuffie jersey on because I know he's going nowhere. Fuck that. That's what I have to tell you.
There he is, OJ McDuffie with a, an off the rails, I tried to tell y'all, and everybody's loving it. They're eating it up in the chat. Chris Perkins with that good internet. What'd you try to tell us?
All right, I'm going to switch it up to I'm trying to tell y'all. Here's what I'm trying to tell y'all. Sully and Halfley better get this thing done quickly because we're seeing other teams all around the NFL get it done quickly, right? We've seen Liam Cohen and James Gladstone, first-year coach, first-year GM. They got it done. We've seen Mike Vrabel up in New England, first-year coach. He got it done. We saw Dan Morgan in Carolina, first-year GM with his second-year coach, Dave Canales. They were 5-12 last year. Now, look, this year they were only 8-9, but they did make the playoffs. They did win that bad division. All around football, Denver, Chicago, we're seeing teams get this thing done in 1 or 2 years. So what I'm trying to tell Sully and Halfley is you should get this team to the playoffs in 2 years. 2027. I'm not saying anybody deserves to be fired if you don't. What I'm saying is you're going to be on alert in year three if you don't get to the playoffs in year two, because we're seeing all around the NFL this can be done. Now, whether they can sustain it, that's different, right? But they're getting to the playoffs very quickly. The pressure is on you guys to get to the playoffs very quickly, because we've seen first-year coaches and first-year GMs get it done within their first or second year. That's what I'm trying to tell them.
Mm. Are you going to tell them tomorrow, Perk?
Oh, no, no. I'm only going to tell them this behind their back. You know, come on, come on.
Come on, man. You got to at least ask them about what their timetable is, right? No, hell no.
Damn, you know,
you said he ain't buying shit and then he's going to buy everything. You said you're trying to tell him this and you're not even trying to tell him.
That's right.
Unbelievable.
Oh,
that's unbelievable. Oh, no, hell no. Oh, God. You know, if you hung with it this long, there's a reason this is just the best segment.
Oh, my
show.
God.
All right. Well, fellas, I tried to tell y'all that the Miami Dolphins needed to have football people making football decisions. So when the news broke that Troy Aikman had been contracted to serve as a consultant during the GM search, I felt that the manner in which we found out might have been a little bit clunky, but I was relieved that someone who had spent his entire career in and around football, particularly around winning championship level football, I was like, all right, I'm going to take a deep breath here. And then the news of Dan Marino also being part of the process made me feel even better. And look, this is no shot at Tom Garfinkel, because when it comes to the business side of the Miami Dolphins, he's been top tier. It's not a shot at Brandon Shore, because I don't even know enough about the man other than he found a way for the Dolphins to remain cap compliant, even when McDaniel and Greer tried to spend Stephen Ross's cash like Richard Pryor and Brewster's friggin' millions. As a side note, do you know how much that he was supposed to spend in that? Do you guys remember that? Montgomery Brewster was left an impossible $300 million to spend in that 1985 Classic. So how about if you fast forward today, all he had to do was sign Tua to his current deal, and then he wouldn't have had to sell that damn upside down stamp. Anyway, my point is that Garfinkel and Shore seem to be very good at what they do, but what they don't do and what they're not involved with is making football decisions, analyzing football decision makers, let alone football coaches and football players. So bring in football guys, and that's it. Finally, exactly what Stephen Ross did. And so all you people who are complaining, he brought in football guys to help make football decisions. And as a result, we have a new head football man on campus in John Eric Sullivan, a guy who was born into the sport. He was raised by a ball coach. He played the game. He spent three decades in Titletown. And then Sully is Travis Wingfield now, because they're on a first-name basis, a nickname basis. I don't know. I wonder what he could – hey, Trav, hey, Sully, when they pass each other in the lunch line. But now Sully has found us a football coach. And I have no idea what will become of Jeff Hafley. We talked about it at length today, and I think most of us are all just kind of guessing. But what I do take comfort in is the fact that people who zeroed in on Hafley, the people who led the meetings, who asked the questions, who made the phone calls and made the decisions, were all men who have dedicated their lives to working in and around football. And with that, I'm hopeful that our Miami Dolphins have made the best hire in a long, long time. Bring in football guys to make football decisions, I tried to tell y'all.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Right. I like that. Big Seth.
And I stand behind my shit and whatever you guys are doing today. I don't know.
You know what? Big Seth, I'm still not doing jerseys. I'm still not doing no more jerseys. Well, you know, Jay-Z said we don't wear jerseys anymore anyway, so I'm done.
I did my own. I try to tell y'all in the chat because I didn't want to put it out there.
Where is it?
Where is it, Chad? Let's hear it.
No, Savak already put it up. Like, if you're talking, there's, I'll just, we'll leave it at that because I don't want to be sued too much. My lawyers are probably as good, but like if it's winning championships, like I get billionaires or billionaires for a reason. And you know, when you're become a billionaire, like taking advantage of small business owners, real estate, whatever, you become that doesn't make you a good NFL owner. And there are great NFL owners. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Mr. Ross is that or not. I am doubtful that he is. But he gives you the fireworks and the glitter every once in a while that you want to see, but he's gonna become who he is at the end of the day. And unfortunately, I don't think it's gonna work out for the Dolphins, but I hope you guys have the same UM run that we saw this year, because that was out of nowhere. And I hope that that happens with you guys, but yeah, I just don't see it.
All right, Chad Van Horn trying to tell us. And again, we are past the 10 o'clock mark, but this would not be a Fish Tank Live featuring Chris Perkins and Chad Van Horn if we didn't allow Perk to ask at least one legal zone question for Chad. For the Van Horn Law Group Legal Zone, Chris Perkins, what do you got?
All right, so Chad, here's my question. So, you know, we're going to have
condo elections. Oh, shit, it always started this way.
We're going to have condo elections.
Go ahead.
Like in about a year, and we've got this group that's supposed to be monitoring the election. How do we know we can trust this group, and can we sue to see the results of the election, even though it's supposed to be a private ballot, and we do have a group that monitors it? Can we sue? Can we get a temporary restraining order before the new board gets in? How would that process work?
All right. So I completely understand your question, even though it was broken up. And I want to be very direct. Is my internet connection good? Everybody good?
You sound great. You sound great, Chad.
Sell your fucking condo right now.
Never. Never.
Are we good? Are we good? Is that good legal advice? You're done. It's over. We have people checking the ballot at your car. Get the fuck out of there. You're done.
Is that how your TED Talk went today as well, Chad? Was that
My TED Talk was much easier than dealing with Perk, I can tell you, because I can hear every single word of people asking questions, and pixelated Perk is a thing. But he just needs to sell his goddamn condo and be done with this. Like, legitimately, I have an extra bedroom. Juice, you have an extra bedroom too. Like, let's let him live in freedom for a little bit and see.
Hey,
yeah, let him like see what
as roommates. That right there is made for TV.
But let them see what like real life is like. Like this, like being controlled by these people doesn't seem legitimate. Like let them eat cake.
Hey Chad, do I get billed a whole hour?
He's not
in
his place that often. Chad. Yes, you do.
Well, especially because it's delayed. Like it's like a slow, like pixelated version. Hours. Yes, like 2 hours.
I do get billed.
Oh
2 hours.
Boy, fellas, I'm not sure what we accomplished tonight, but damn it, it was a lot of fun.
Hey Chad, you had to run that through translator at one point, didn't you?
I did. That's why I have these headphones in. It has a Gemini Google just running, and it translates Perk. And actually, some of Seth's language, I don't get. He uses big words, so I don't get that. But I definitely understand you, Juice. So, and it tells me, like, immediately when Seth talks, he's like, my headphones just say, just talk shit. That's all he says. And I don't know why. I don't know why he doesn't like Seth, because he has great kids. But it for some reason, my headphones does not like him.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. I don't take it personally at all. Oh man, too much fun.
Hey, real quick, Big Seth, before we get up out of here, you know, Van Horn Law better be ready for Wiffle Blast, you know, sponsored by the Jason Taylor Foundation this Saturday. You know, I had to try to find a team, you know what I mean? But I think my team's going to be all right against Van Horn Law. Chad, what do you think about your squad coming in?
We're feeling good. Perk, are you free? I got a spot open. I had a guy canceled.
I'm going to be in New Orleans for the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, you seem like a senior guy. Anyway, we're feeling good. We had practice at Holiday Park the other day. I went 11 for 11 with 11 home runs.
Okay.
I mean, I made the field dimensions and the rules. Right. So I think it's going to be a little different when it comes to the real, but I couldn't be more excited. My friends are excited as well. And obviously it's for a good cause. And I assume Jason Taylor is going to appreciate like having some wins after that loss the other day. Oh, wait, here we go. We got a question here.
We do have a question. No JT slander here in the live, because I am not trying to get fired the right way or the wrong way. I do want to say, so Whiplash, if you're in South Florida, and it's not a celebrity-driven event outside of Juice and Chad Van Horn. I'm not sure if I think Mario Cristobal might even have JT on the road recruiting because they missed so much time in the playoff run. But if you're in South Florida, Pine Trails Park, we'll be out there from 8:30 in the morning to about 3 p.m. It's a lot of fun. Juice gets very competitive. Travis Wingfield will be playing on Juice Crew as well. The last 3 or 4 years, he's been a part of that. So come on out. It's a good time. A lot of fun for the whole family. And all proceeds do benefit the Jason Taylor Foundation and the work that we do to help young people throughout South Florida. We did get a good question. To follow up a good question by Chris Perkins, I have consulted with two firms that want payment up front. Does Van Horn Law Group offer payment options?
Yeah, so we actually, it was the craziest thing. So we actually were the first firm in South Florida that offered where we would file your case if you would just pay the filing fees. And the Department of Justice actually sued us because they wanted us to charge everybody up front $2,500 before filing their case. And we litigated against them in front of the chief judge in Miami, Judge Isikoff. And the chief judge, who is a big supporter of pro bono, and we do a lot of pro bono work, was like, I do not understand why the Department of Justice would be upset about Van Horn Law Group helping people that do not have the money to file bankruptcy and working out payment plans. So I appreciate that question, because we were the firm that not only did we offer it, and we offered it for years, but we had to fight the Department of Justice to allow people to have payment plans to become debt-free, which, as normal people would think, right, this is just a normal thing. Like, we work out payment plans for everything. Like, why can't we work out a payment plan for this, especially people that don't have the money? So, yes, we offer payment plans. The filing fees and costs are about $300, $400, and we can break that into payments, and we can get you filed, and then we can break up payments afterwards.
There it is. Van Horn Law Group payment plan. Perk just got a lot more interested in the whole thing, so he's gonna have you filing all kinds of motions.
No, we're definitely gonna do a live from Perk's HOA meeting one time.
I think Perk's building is stealing internet from the building next to them and charging Perk them in their HOAs for that service, man. I think that's what it is, man. They logged into their server, man.
Hey, and by the way, yes, I take old Dolphins jerseys as payment, but there's only two Dolphins. Juice, who are the two Dolphins jerseys I'll take?
The two you'll take?
I only take two, obviously.
Well, you take mine.
Yep.
You better take mine.
Yeah, of course.
And probably Marino, because he's from Pittsburgh.
None. Those are the only two that I'll take.
99's from Pittsburgh, too. Just keep that in mind.
Kevin, oh, shoot. Yeah, I'll take three.
He's got a Jets and a Washington jersey, too, though.
I got him in the warehouse.
And he went to rival high school.
Cap for Life says, I got to talk to Chad, bro. I don't know if he's just having fun or not. But if somebody, Cap for Life or someone else, needs to get in touch with you, Chad, where should they reach out?
All right. So we joke around a lot, and I did like a TED Talk type event earlier today that was really impactful with a lot of people. You can email me at chad@cvhlawgroup.com. You can, if you Google Chad Van Horn, it'll take you to our page where you get a free consultation. Like, truly, like today, like, the average person is really struggling. So if you're struggling with debt, if you're struggling with anything, just give me a call, reach out, and maybe bankruptcy is an option, maybe it's not, but at least you'll know your options. So reach out, and we have a lot of fun on this podcast, but there is real life events happening out there that are outside. Like, Mike McDaniels will be completely fine. You know, Halfley will be fine. Everybody will be fine that's making millions of dollars, and it's very serious for them. But there are a lot of very serious issues that are happening for everyday Americans, and we are here taking care of them. And I appreciate this platform bringing that out for everybody. And we have this short period of time for that. So I appreciate you guys doing that.
Appreciate you, Chad Van Horn. Chad. Yes. You know where to find him now. Savak, we didn't hear much from you today, but there was a whole lot of other shit going on. But thank you for keeping us honest all night long.
Hey, real quick, Seth, Chad, yeah. put that in the chat. In the chat real quick.
I'll do it right now.
Yeah, put that in the chat real quick while we're I listen to the radio and I hear people say numbers and shit. And I'm like, wait, what was that again?
551.
Yeah.
No, right. No doubt about it. Chris Perkins, you're a trooper, man. We will all be waiting with bated breath for you to go hard because you're not doing an in-house interview. You're going to bring it. So I can't wait.
I'll be watching live, Big Seth. I'll be watching live. If Perk don't come hard, man, I'm going to have a problem with him next week.
That's fine.
I'm bringing it. What if he goes in with softballs and then doesn't even show up on the live next week?
Right. Yeah. What if Starbucks arrests him tonight? I mean, like, there's a lot of what ifs.
He bought a damn
I got an attorney.
He's
I'm not worried.
Sipping that iced coffee, man.
That's right.
Oh, too good. Too good. Good stuff. Juice. Get us out of here, man.
Hey everybody, thanks for diving in.
Time to dive up in that fish tank. Who that? Sitting down with Seth Living. Seth. OJ. Juice Man. Ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans. Yeah. Dog fans. Number one. Of course, y'all. This ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank. Go get your aqua orange. Yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. Talking when you dive up in that fish tank.